Hey, how are we doing tonight? We doing all right tonight? Hey, I'm excited tonight because we are starting our new series. We have walked faithfully through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and today we start the series of tough topics. Does anyone recognize this man in the background? His name is Chuck Norris. I choose Chuck Norris back there because he is a famous American. He's famous for being just incredibly strong. That Chuck Norris is like invincible. This dude is just incredibly strong. Walker, Texas Ranger. He's played many, many roles on films and TV shows. But he is a tough man. So that's why we have him as a background for tough topics. I want to open up with just a couple of Chuck Norris jokes, if that's okay. You guys ready? We had Chuck Norris jokes all the time growing up, so we'll see if you like some of these. Did you know that Chuck Norris can kill two stones with one bird? Pretty impressive. Did you know that when the boogeyman goes to sleep every night, he checks for Chuck Norris? Did you know that Chuck Norris has a diary? It's called the Guinness Book of World Records. Did you know that one time, a cobra bit Chuck Norris, and after 5 days of excruciating pain, the cobra died? And I've saved my favorite for last. Are you ready for this? Did you know that giraffes were created when Chuck Norris uppercutted a horse? Boom! Giraffes were created. Hey, thank you for the pity laughs. I love Chuck Norris jokes. Shh. So this series, it's a 4-week series. We're going to go over topics that are tough, that maybe our culture isn't talking about. Maybe you haven't heard people actually address from a biblical worldview, biblical perspective. So tonight, we're going to begin that journey. And tonight, we're going to start with something that is near and dear to all of us. Screen time, your phone usage, your tablet usage, the way you use laptops. And a lot of you guys are just immediately convicted. You're like, no, Dylan, don't talk about this. Hey, let me tell you this. Shh. I think it's normal for humans to try to be like God. It's normal for human beings to try to be like God. We see that from the very beginning of times. In Genesis, with Adam and Eve, they try to be like God because they ate the fruit of the tree of good and evil, in which they weren't supposed to. They believed the lie that when they ate the fruit that they would become like God, that they would become powerful and would see everything just like God. Did that end up well for them? No. It shattered intimacy with God himself. Well, that's not the only time. You have the Tower of Babel, right? They were building this tower to get to God, to become like God. And what does God do? He shatters intimacy with one another. He confuses them, allows them to speak other languages so they can't work together. They don't know what each other is saying. And I firmly believe we're in the middle of one of those moments right now. I had a professor in college that was very strict on phone usage in class. Say, Graham is over here in this section. If Graham was on his phone, my professor would come over here and he'd say, get off your phone. So everyone knew someone over there in that section was on their phone. And he was very strict, and a lot of us were like, man, can you just back off a little bit? Like, he's just texting. But then he gave this reason, which some people thought was over the top, but I thought it was really convicting. He said, when you're in the presence of other people, or even when you're just on your phone, we are trying to be like God. And you say, how is that, Dylan? God is the only one that is omnipresent. That's a big word that means he's in multiple places. He is everywhere all of the time. And I think we're all guilty of sitting in an awkward position, sitting in class, sitting in church, maybe any of you right now sitting on your phone, scrolling through Instagram, trying to be somewhere else than right now. Have we thought about what the implications of that will be, that we are trying to be like God? Unfortunately, I don't think we quite understand that because we're not interacting with that. We're not coming face to face with that. And I hope that we can do that tonight. On the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone, Steve Jobs, the creator of the iPhone, was interviewed, and he said this: "I wake up in cold sweats every so often thinking, what did we bring to this world?" Did you know that Steve Jobs didn't even let his kids or grandkids have an iPad, have an iPhone, because he knew it was deadly. He knew it was addicting. And he was even 10 years after the fact, knew that he created a monster that are taking over lives. Smartphones are not going anywhere. They're only going to get better. They're only going to get bigger. The cameras are only going to get 700 on the iPhone 36 when that comes out, right? It's going to get a better Retina display. It's going to get better processing. It's going to get a better iOS system. So they're not going anywhere. So the question is, what are we going to do with it? What's our response? Do we have one? What are we to do with the iPhone, with the Android, with the smartphone? Have we thought of how we were going to have this healthy relationship? And I hope tonight we're going to dive deep into how our phones are changing us and what we are to do about it. And the thing I want you to understand tonight is this: we need to take control of our phones, or they will take control of us. We need to take control of our phones, because if not, they will take control of us. If you have your Bibles, will you open up to 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 19, all the way in the Old Testament, long ways away from 1 Thessalonians. So if you look at my Bible, it's not too far into the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 19 is what we have here. And thank you, Noah, for reading that earlier. My first point for you to understand tonight is this: God has called us to examine our lives. God has called us to examine our lives. Verses 9 through 10 in chapter 19 of 1 Kings says this: "There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" Now, some context of what's going on here is this prophet Elijah, just in the previous chapter, in chapter 18, is part of a scene that we are probably all familiar with, where he's on the mountain with the prophets of Baal. There's 400 of them, and they're sitting there with their altars, and there's this wager going on whose God is going to send down fire to the altar. And Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go and go and go. And we all know the story that the altar never catches fire, but that Elijah says, "Lord, would you rain down fire from heaven?" And the Lord rained down fire and lit the altar up. And because of that, there was a wager that the prophets of Baal were killed. They died. They were slaughtered. Now, this was a great victory for Elijah. He trusted the Lord with his life, and God showed up in a big way. But what happened at the beginning of chapter 19 is that we see this new character come on, and her name is Jezebel. And Jezebel is famous for being opposed to the Lord. She hates the Lord. She hates his prophets. And we see that Jezebel finds out that Elijah had the 400 prophets of Baal killed. So Jezebel is coming after Elijah. He's coming after Elijah. So if you're Elijah, like, you just overcame 400 prophets of Baal, right? You're feeling good. You're feeling confident. You're feeling intimate with the Lord. And then what we see in Scripture is when Jezebel came after him, Elijah ran for his life. And that's where we find him here in verse 9 and 10. He came to a cave and lodged in it. What Elijah was doing, he was trying to seek refreshment from the cave. He was trying to seek safety from the cave. Now, I think if we relate that to our life, the things that we run to, I think we try to find refreshment in our phones. We're trying to find safety in our phones, safety from awkward conversations, safety from downtime, solitude, where we actually have to think. We run to our phones, and God asks the question even to Elijah in this cave. He says, what are you doing here? Why are you here? I think we need to ask ourselves, why do we continually find ourselves here? Let me give you some stats that I found this past week. The average person with a smartphone spends 2 to 4 hours a day on their phone. The average is 2 to 4 hours a day on your phone, your screen time, right? If you have an iPhone, you can check your screen time. The average is 2 to 4 hours a day. Now listen to this. That equals about 2,400 taps, swipes, pickups a day. That you pick up your phone, you tap it that many times, 2,400 times a day. Now you may be thinking, oh, there's no way I do that. You'd be surprised. Now, I want even more mind-boggling stat is that if you take that 2 to 4 hours a day and you stretch that across a lifetime, you know how much time that is? 11 years. 11 years of your life spent scrolling mindlessly on your phone. A lot of that was just a gut check. Now, there's some of you in here that are 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old. That means almost your entire life so far, across this 2 to 4 hours a day stretched across a lifetime, is your entire life spent on a phone. Think about that. And that's just the average. Researchers say that 40% of people spend 4 to 7 hours a day on their phone. 4 to 7 hours a day. Now, imagine that stretched across a lifetime. That's a lot of time that we are wasting on our phone. And a lot of it is we're running to our phones for safety from conversations with people. We see this also where in past sermons you've heard me rail and just go off on AirPods, because I see so many of you and I see so many students walking around places with AirPods in with no music playing or with music playing simply for two things: to look cool and not to have to talk to other people. Like it's a flex to say, yeah, I got AirPods, and it's also to say, I don't want to talk to you. Now, that doesn't make sense when God calls us to love our neighbor, that we're too busy and we don't want to talk to our neighbor because we have our AirPods in. Tony Ranke, who's the author of a book that is very powerful, that even the adults in this room I recommend, it's called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. He says this: to be without the constant availability for distraction is solitary confinement to us, a punishment to be most dreaded. That when you forget your phone someplace and you go out of the house and you're at the mall or you're at school and you're like, oh no, I don't have my phone. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able. This is like being in prison. Like people seriously think that they're in prison. Yeah, tap, tap, tap. You guys like that. That you guys feel like you're in prison because you don't have your phone. And here's a disgusting fact for you, that most of you probably go to the bathroom, you don't go to the bathroom without your phone. Like y'all are, like you don't even want 5 minutes alone without your phone. In 1970s, researchers and scientists did a study that's named the Pecking Pigeon Study. Now, what this study was, that they had these pigeons in a cage. And they had this with a little lever machine. And what would happen is that once this pigeon pecked the lever, a treat would come out. He's like, oh, sweet, I get to eat a treat. So every time he pecked the lever, a treat came out. Well, what they found is that soon enough, the pigeon got bored. It stopped pecking the lever and said, okay, I've had my fill of treats. So what they did to change the experiment, they changed the algorithm, the way that the lever worked, that it wasn't every time, you didn't get a treat every time the pigeon pecked it. Sometimes it would be the third time it pecked it. Maybe it'd be the seventh time or the 12th time or the second time. It varied every single time. And what they found is this pigeon did not get bored with it. It got incredibly addicted to it. That it would, that each pigeon, no matter what pigeon they put in there, that it would continue hitting that lever until it caused injury to itself. Until the beak was injured on that pigeon. All because it changed the algorithm of it and it was addicted to it. Now, when Facebook and Instagram and all that came out, it was all based on when you posted. So I could go on my phone, I go on Instagram, and I could scroll back to where the last time I've seen it, and all the things above it are brand new, the most recent post. And you know what happened when I got down to the things I had seen before? I got off Instagram. I'm like, okay, I've already seen this. I'm bored with it. So what did they do? What did social media people do? They changed the algorithm. The same way they did with the pecking pigeons. That you don't see based on time. It's just random. And the reason it's random is because it wants to keep you in the app. It wants you to keep you in the phone to see the advertisements, to stay addicted to the app. So a lot of you are just continually to scroll because you keep seeing new things. That's why on Instagram it has the search bar where it has all the things that you might be interested in for you to stay on the app. Instagram's, all of social media, they're treating us like these pecking pigeons. Tim Keller says this, by seeking trivial pleasures in our phones, we train ourselves to want more of those trivial pleasures. Most seriously of all, whether we, out of fear and guilt, we lose our delight in God, the source of all good, and thus begin to lose our delight in the goods he has given us, in momentary diversions when they become the only pleasures we know. We become so addicted to our phones, to be so addicted to be entertained all of the time, that when we sit down and we're told to read God's word, we're to sit down and sit in silence with the Lord and pray with him, that we are just not in it. We're not entertained. We don't, like, what is this God thing? It's boring. I can be on social media. I can go on YouTube. I can go on Netflix. I can be entertained for hours upon hours upon hours. Hey, I'm preaching to the choir. I love binge watching on Netflix. I love all of these things, just like you do. But we have to examine our lives. Is God desiring me to use my phone in this way? An unexamined life is a life without purpose. An unexamined life is a life without purpose. That God has called us to examine every part of our life, because in every part of our life, we're called to give God glory, to serve him with everything that we are. That means our talents, our abilities, our families, our friends, our material goods, our time. All are meant to glorify God and to serve God. And a lot of us aren't examining if our phone habits are doing that very thing. A lot of us are just mindlessly scrolling in the black hole of YouTube, the black hole of Instagram, and never thinking twice about it. God is not calling you to that life. He's asking you, just like he's asking Elijah, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I think we need to ask ourselves that same thing. The second point tonight is this, that God calls us to be refreshed in his presence. That God calls us to be refreshed in his presence. Verse 11 and 12 say this, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. So we have this incredible scene here that he calls Elijah out to the mount, to the edge of the mountain. And he's doing all these earthquakes and these great winds. I feel like in Oklahoma, we probably know a little something about great winds in Oklahoma, right? I never witnessed an actual tornado until I moved to Oklahoma. I haven't witnessed an actual earthquake until I moved to Oklahoma. And I tell you, it was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. It was like 1:30 a.m. I was traveling. I was in Oklahoma City staying with Brittany's parents because we were dating and she was at school. And I wake up at like 1:30. Everything's shaking. And I look around. I have no idea what's going on. And I'm like, I'm going to die. 2 seconds later, I was so tired. I was like, all right, God, if I'm supposed to go, take me. And I rolled back over and I went to sleep. In this way, in fires, y'all have like forest, or like field fires sometimes. So we can kind of relate this to Oklahoma. But in this moment, in this scene, God is showing his mighty power. He's showing Elijah that he is a God of awe and wonder. That he creates this wind and this earthquake and this fire, getting Elijah's attention. But the thing is, Elijah wasn't listening. A lot of times we aren't listening to the low whisper of God because we are too preoccupied with the noise of everything else going in our life. And a lot of that noise is our phones. That we do not hear the whisper of God because we are too busy preoccupied with our phones. Even like as I set my phone right now, I had deleted Instagram off my phone. I don't have Instagram on my phone. And when I don't get on Instagram, Instagram mails me. It emails me. And it just told me, these people have new posts and these people are following me now. Because I don't get on the app, it's saying, oh no, come back to me. Come back to me. How crazy is that? That we get too preoccupied with social media, with our phones, but we don't hear the whispers of God. Tony Ranke again says, the urgency that you feel that drives you online is caused by your fear of being left out, unseen, and unloved. That we go to our phones to be loved, for people to like our stuff, for people to view our YouTube videos, for people to know us and recognize us online, to be a part of the group chat, to be a part of this, and a lot of times we don't get that love. We go there to be seen, to be known, to be valued. And every time, you're going to look and say, well, I don't have enough likes. I don't have as many likes as that person. I don't have as many followers as that person. I look at their pictures on Instagram. I don't get to go on vacations like that. They're going all the way across the world, and I go to Bricktown. Like, that's not fair. And you start comparing your life. And you're saying, I'm just missing out. And you hear someone talks about they posted something online. So you run online to see because you have this fear of missing out. That we have this desire to be known, valued, and loved. And unfortunately, we're trying to find it from our phones. And every time, it will fail you. You might have posted a picture that you're like, oh yeah, everyone's going to love this one. Oh yeah, man, I got all these snap streaks. And suddenly someone just stops doing a streak with you because they just want to. They're like, I want to do a streak with someone else. Or you might be thinking, man, I just had this post. It got this many likes. Man, I'm really on the uptrend for my social media profile. And then one day it's going to drop off and they're not going to like your next picture as much as you want them to. You will never find the validation from social media, from your phone. But I'll tell you this, you will always find the validation of being known, valued, and loved from our Savior. But the problem is we're too busy listening to the noise and not listening to the small whispers of God. But the thing is, it's not always a whisper. When you read his word, sometimes, especially in the prophets, it's like God is yelling at you to turn from your sin and to come to him. Yet we downloaded the Bible app on our phone. Yet we can't tell you, you can't tell me the last time you opened it. You have it on your dock at the bottom because, hey, it's important to me. I want people to see it's important to me. Yet it never gets clicked. If we really want to be known, valued, and loved, we go to the Creator that created us, that knows us before we were born, and values us enough to send his Son on the cross for us. And you might be thinking, well, Dylan, so I shouldn't have a smartphone at all? I shouldn't have social media at all? So, okay, I'll just delete the Instagram app from my phone. That's great. I'm doing good. Well, the problem is, when you delete those apps from your phone, maybe a day later, 2 days later, maybe a couple hours later, we go back to the app store and we re-download it, don't we? I've done that plenty of times. So I knew I was going to be preaching this to y'all, so I wanted to take first action. So I was gone last week at a conference out of town. So I was going to be on air, you know, on some flights at the airport. And I was like, okay, that would be a great time. I would love to scroll through Twitter. But I'm not going to do it. So I deleted all my social media, the apps off my phone. I blocked them from me being able to see them on Safari because we always know the shortcuts around are blocks. And I put a lock to where Brittany has to put in a code for me to download apps on my phone, for me to access those social media things on my Safari. And if by simply doing that, I'm like, okay, man, I'm going to love Jesus better now. Well, I'll tell you, when I first sat down in the airport, and I go to my phone and I look like, oh, man, I deleted them. I had Brittany. Oh, man, there's no way around this. So you know what I did? I started going through my mail app. I started cleaning out my mail app. I started going through my photos. I went to the ESPN app and started looking at some stats. The problem is when we just look at the problem and say, if we take away our apps, take away social media, not have a smartphone, and we don't fill it with Jesus, then it's just as bad. We're still continuing to keep ourselves busy and distracted. But instead of just deleting it, that we are to pursue Jesus instead. So what are some practical solutions for this? Number one, don't have your phone next to your bed. Don't use it as an alarm clock. Don't do it. I do that. I have it as my alarm clock right next to my bed. But the problem is that we turn off our alarm in the morning. Well, we snooze it once or twice, and then we turn it off. Do we just then put our phone back and say, okay, I'm going to get in the Word. I may hit a workout in. I'm going to take a shower, eat breakfast, and go to school. No. What do? We turn off our alarm. We open up Instagram. We open up social media, and we spend a good 15, 20 minutes on our phone. We choose the world. We choose social media before we have personal intimacy with Jesus. But the problem with that is this, is that the world is trying to give you a message, right? It's trying to tell you a message. And that message is countercultural to the gospel. It's not what Jesus is calling us to do. So my question is, what is getting to you first in the morning? Is it the world or is it God's word? And unfortunately, a lot of us would say the world. But God has not called us to do that. He has called us to be grounded in his word. To be grounded in his word. To hear the small whisper of him and not to be crowded out by the noise of our phone. The next one is to have app restrictions or time restrictions on your phone. We all have, if you have a smartphone, there's some way to check how much screen time you've been using. A lot of us are like, ooh, I don't want to tell anybody that. In your small groups, you're going to have an opportunity to confess your screen time. And all of you are like, oh, no! But it's important for us to have those restrictions so that we're not. Guys, if the unexamined life is a life without purpose, and without purpose, we're just going to continue on in the habits of our heart. And those aren't going to be honoring to the Lord. So have restrictions. Have your mom or your dad put a code on your phone so that you don't know it, so you can't re-download those apps. Delete the social media games. Again, it's not just deleting them is the solution. It's deleting them and filling it with Jesus. It's just like repentance. Like, okay, God, I'll stop sinning. No, he doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to stop sinning, but turn to him and fill that time with him. Delete social media. Maybe that's what you need to do, but take that time and spend it with him. For me, when I was gone these last 2.5 weeks, which I've had this done, I've read 3 books, which are more than 500 pages. I don't tell you that to brag on myself. I tell you that how sad it is of how much time I found to actually read these books that grow me in my relationship with the Lord. There's so much time that we are wasting. And the last one is maybe don't get a smartphone. Don't get a smartphone, right? If you don't think you can handle it, if you show yourself that you can't handle it, don't get one. Now, I'm not anti-phones or anti-screens. I have my iPhone 11 right here. I'm preaching off my iPad right here, right? I have screens in front of me. I have screens. I'm not saying they are bad, but I'm saying, are we examining them in our lives? No matter what level you have been convicted tonight of your phone usage, God is in the redeeming business. We see from the very first thing that when we try to be God, Adam and Eve try to be God with the fruit from the tree of good and evil. How did God redeem that? He's redeemed it in his son Jesus, that when we accept Jesus in our heart, he begins to work and out of us flows the fruit of the Spirit. How cool is that? That God has redeemed our sin from the past into something that glorifies him. Think about the Tower of Babel. When we try to be like God and try to reach him in that way, he confused us and we broke intimacy with one another. But look at the picture in Revelation where he says that the time in heaven, every tribe, nation, people, and tongue will be circled around the throne praising God, singing praise. It gives me a chills every time I think about it. God has redeemed that. So how is God going to redeem this? My fear is that we're not looking up for our phones figuring that out. We're nose deep in social media and YouTube, and we're not looking around to see what God is doing. My hope is that we would see that God is reaching thousands of people that have never been reached before because of the Bible app that they can download on their phone. That God is allowing Christian literature, the Bible, to go into nations and tribes and peoples that have never had the Word of God. God is redeeming screens. But my question is, and my hope is that you would spend time asking God, how would you use this for your glory? How would you want me to use this for your glory? And if you can't answer that, you may need to take a step away from it. Now, Max, if you'll put this picture up as I close. This is a famous picture. Johnny Depp, a famous actor, is walking by at this point. And you can see everybody is trying to take a picture. They're trying to capture the moment so they can put it on social media. They can get all the likes. And people will like them more. They're like, man, I caught Johnny Depp on camera. Honestly, what's that going to do? Are you going to look at that a month later and read those? But the thing, as you've already noticed, in the red circle is this elderly woman. I think we can learn a lot from her. She's taking in the moment. Now, as Johnny Depp, she's not hearing some infinite wisdom from Johnny Depp, but she's living in the moment. Our phones can be an incredible tool for our personal relationship with Jesus. The Dwell app, the Bible app, there are so many things on your phone that can be downloaded that would increase your personal relationship with Jesus. It's that simple. Are you going to use that for that, or are you going to allow phones to wreck your relationship with Jesus, that you don't have intimacy with him, that you are constantly on your phone? And you look back when you're 85 years old and see that you've wasted 11 years of your life. Do you want that to be your legacy? Or do you want to ask God how he can redeem your screen time for his glory? God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the conviction that it brings because we need it. We need to be checked. Lord, I need to be checked. God, I pray this would also be an encouraging message to us tonight, that we would see that you are doing massive things for your glory with the phone. But God, that we can be distracted with it, that we can look to our phones for validation, for refreshment. But Lord, those will never happen with our screens. But Lord, I pray that we would see that you are calling us to be refreshed, to spend time with you, to listen to the small whisper. God, I pray we would ask the question how we would use the screen for your glory, that we would reach our friends and our neighbors with the gospel. And God, that you would convict us of our ways and that we would be faithful to you. Lord, we ask all of this in your name. Amen. You are dismissed to small groups.